Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, but we're spiralling downwards.
We're into darkness.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by a shapeshifter and a shadow spawn, but I can't see anyone else.
Boo!
Oh my gosh.
We're invisible! Boo!
I'm Gus.
No, I'm Gus!
No, I'm Gus!
Well, say hi, everybody. Gus.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
My name is Gus.
Lady Tula Delevingne.
Lady Tula Delevingne.
Guys, it's episode 69.
That's what they said.
I like how you just slipped that in there.
Wait.
Hey. That's what he said.
That's what they said.
They said, way.
It's what we all say.
Inclusive 69s for everyone.
That's our giveaway for this month, listeners.
No, that's not something that we can physically achieve with our listeners.
Well, this release in February around Valentine's Day. So you get 69s for everyone.
Do we just hold this one off until Valentine's?
You're having someone going down on you.
Wow.
Consensually.
Okay, TPK.
Total party kinky.
Yay!
Now that we've brought attention to the number of the episodes, shall we cue the theme tune?
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D. Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice.
No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is No Small Roles.
So, faced with an arcanist holding the amulet of access that would allow you to head beneath Chargeld Hall and a shapeshifter polymorphed into a slug, the invisible Fake Marked Five prepared themselves for a fight. The snatch and grab that followed was chaotic, with the arcanist flailing about trying to hit the invisible targets. Whilst Gaius hit them with a fairy fire, Juno flung a poisonous chromatic orb, Enkidu summoned a demonic shadow spawn, and Orin and Gwendolyn managed to get the amulet free.
Thank you so much for including Orin in that, Orin didn't have them for that.
He tried!
With the arcanist letting off a fireball, Juno's hold over the polymorph spell slipped, returning the shapeshifter to their form as Petrogranius. The arcanist rushed to help them, only to take their blade in the neck and be decapitated. The fake Petra attempted to negotiate a truce, but suspicious and cautious, Enkidu sliced their hand and held them still with his new shadowy friend. Knowing it was only minutes before Arcanists descended on them, the party rushed downstairs, through the floor of the basement, and into a spiraling staircase that stretched ever downward. And that's where we're going to pick it up. So, yep, you're all rushing down into this sort of spiraling space that seems to go on into the darkness below. And the stairs are lit themselves. As you've looked over the edge a little bit, you can see, it's interesting, almost like small pockets of light, which you can assume are either from doorways or from signs that there are doorways further down. What are you all doing?
David.
Yes?
Are these stairs magical in some way?
The stairs themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, you've still got Detect Magic up, don't you?
Still got it up for...
for a couple minutes?
I've still got the Detect Magic up for... Looking at Grace, and Grace is giggling.
You said you had it up, and I didn't say where. I was trying to be good.
You were so excited. So yes, Detect Magic is still up for another about 5 minutes or so, I think.
Yeah, about that. So whilst... Oh, I'm trying to think what kind of magic it would be. Basically, the stairs themselves almost have a magical light emitting from them so that they can be seen in the darkness. I think that might fall under evocation.
Yeah.
But you know that it's not in a dangerous way. Like you're seeing, you're registering that it's the light spell that is that you catch with your detect magic.
I think my question more is that like they're not magically enchanted, that we're just going to keep going down them and never reach the bottom.
No. Like there is a bottom to them. Yeah.
Lovely. Carry on running down.
Cool. So as you are heading down, there are, it kind of does slow a little bit, in which the like sort of the steepness of the stairs flattens out ever so slightly. The sort of the descent still carries on, but there are a number of doors on this slightly flatter bit before it then sort of descends even further down.
So are we still like under magic and stuff, or does can Gwendolyn wave her hand around to do the still like the talky thingy with the message situ?
I think just sort of as a given, as we're going down the stairs, Juna and Guy are sort of checking in, right?
Great.
Rather than us regaling every single conversation, I think it's a like
we're keeping that everyone's together. So as we're doing that, Gwendolyn is going to ask back to somebody if Orin can see the scrying orbs that he'd noticed in other rooms in this area.
Good question.
Can I see him, David?
You cannot see any scrying orbs, no.
Oh, thank God.
As you look around, any forms of defense or anything that you'd picked up beforehand? No, not going on down here.
Ooh, I report that back down the message chain. Nope, looks like we're not being watched. My worry is I will report down the message chain that anyone who turns up at the top of the house, they will have seen a big monster thing and Granius seemingly getting dragged down here.
Well, at least, and I'll send it back, well, at least though they'll know that Granius isn't Granius because Granius stabbed the Arcanist upstairs, yeah?
Yep, that's true. And Granius will know they're not Granius too.
Yeah, that's true as well.
But might lead to some confusion and doubt.
Yeah. Where do you think they would keep someone who they definitely want to keep safe and tucked away?
David, do any of these doors have anything magical about them if we're now all on this floor with doors?
It's like the flattened level, isn't it?
Yeah, a slight flattened level with three doors on this space before it then continues down. And yeah, sort of peering over the edge of the banister of the stairs, you can see it kind of does that a couple of times. That there's like a flattened level, which you assume has got some doorways down there. No, there's nothing particularly magical about these doors, actually. Nothing, it's not giving off any airs. They seem to be like fairly basic metallic doors, almost like an iron or a steel or something, but completely solid, with a handle.
Any insignia on the doors?
Nope. No, not marked on at all.
Good question.
So, remind me again, so we've reached like some kind of landing. There are three doors. It's still completely dark around us. The stairs continue down.
So, yeah, it's dark, but the stairs themselves are giving off enough light that you can see where you're going. Yeah.
And the stairs continue down.
Yeah.
This
is almost like first sub-basement level.
Akita will point around, gesture around the door, hoping Orin can see to indicate a message.
Orin watches Akidu.
Sorry.
Gaius will message.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I can't see.
Double hand squeeze.
No, I think there's this. I think there's this
there's
message.
A system.
Sort
it will get time.
Wave, it'll get faster.
Once someone messages me, I'll ask, is there any kind of trap around the door? Any divination around the door? Any trap?
Orin shakes his head and then realizes he can't reply and then replies up the chain. No magic on the doors.
No magic on the doors. No magic on the doors. No magic on the doors.
Keely opens the middle door.
So the middle door reveals an empty room. It's a long, narrow room with a bit of a contraption at the end, with sort of an arcane rig is the only way to describe it. Almost like a ship's wheel at the end, but without any of the sort of crossbars. But like around the outside, it's still got those like points out as if it were...
It's a spoked wheel.
A spoked wheel, yeah. But there's also like almost like arcane controls in front of it as well. A little plinth with a desk almost with runes and markings all over it at the far end.
Fuck. Fuck me. We don't have time to explore all this.
This is like an Orin honeypot.
Yeah. leave the shadow spawn outside with the faceless footman. Go and investigate it. Like, just look at it. Don't touch anything.
Yeah. Make an investigation check.
My favorite. Oh, natural 18. So that's a 17.
Sure.
Can I be helping him with this, David?
Because he's invisible, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, that's fair.
But having a quick look at it, Enkidu, you can tell that it's, first of all, it's not active, but that it looks like some kind of holding device. With the little arcane knowledge that you have, you realize that you could basically hold a person in this circle, in this wheel, using the arcane dials.
How big is the wheel again?
It's like, it's big. It like takes up the far end of the room. Sort of like a, but like, formed almost like a spoked ship's wheel without the bars across the middle.
Big enough that someone could like that Da Vinci diagram.
And it's kind of made of a sort of a stony material as well. You can't quite identify the stone, but it's almost like a solid smooth stone structure.
Could I reasonably deduct that this is potentially a holding cell? I will leave the room.
During that time, Gwendolyn will have been opening another door.
Yep. Which one, the left or the right?
Always left.
As you open that one, first of all, there is a small glow. I say a small glow. There is a glow from inside as you crack the door open. Which wasn't from the middle door. Are you continuing to open the door?
I think if she's seeing a glow, she's kind of freezing in her spot and looking out, hoping that Orin is watching.
Orin's watching.
Yeah, everybody outside on that little bit of landing will have seen this sort of white bluish glow coming from within.
Bluish glow.
Yeah, just that it's like sort of quite bright.
Okay,
but with like a blue tint to it.
She'll get a floating message from Juno or Guy and be like, "Should I proceed? Should I proceed? Should I proceed?" To Orin. Up the message line.
David, just now that we've clocked that one's slightly glowing, is the other door that hasn't been opened yet also slightly glowing?
I was going to say Juno would have opened, like, at, sort of at the same time, opened the door that's
Yeah,
open.
As Juno opens the one on the right, she basically sees exactly what Enkidu sees. Another duplicate of that. A long room, long narrow room with this contraption at the end, but nothing in it and not activated.
I feel like Orin will have replied up the message chain to Gwen, go for it.
She opens it.
He's wondering if this has got someone in, which might be what we're looking for.
And then I think we sort of gather by that door, right? I think Juno, knowing what's going to go, is going to go and stand by where, loosely.
Cool.
He's written something down!
I was just checking the time on how much time you've got left.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got about, we'll say 40 seconds before your undetectableness runs out.
That's okay, because there's no way of detecting us in here, and no one knows we're here.
Exactly.
David, quick question.
Yeah.
do these doors have keyholes in them?
No, they don't. And actually, yeah, you've had no trouble just turning the handle and them opening.
That wasn't my worry.
Oh, okay.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
So, as you push the door even further open?
Yep.
The door swings open, and there, suspended, sort of bare chest out, again, yeah, Vitruvian Man style, held in the middle of this circle with this glowing blue energy activated around him, is Pellegrini. Rings in the middle of a ring.
Rings in the middle of a ring.
And
he is the Lord of the Ring.
Of power.
Across his chest, there are lots of dark scars, which you can only assume have come from some kind of magical...
torture.
Torture. Ooh. Yeah, for want of a better word. And he can't even... His head isn't as held in as the rest of his body is sort of suspended there. So he does kind of look up a little bit as the door opens, and he frowns as obviously he doesn't see anybody enter. Where is the Shadowspawn and Petrus? Are they going to hang back? Are they going to come in? Are they...
They're hanging back. Or would they be able to see Pellegrini from outside the door?
From outside the door, yeah, you all can.
Fuck.
So, but it's whether or not they like even come into view of the doorway.
No, I can't. I'd command them to hang back. I don't want the faceless footman to catch a glimpse.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah, Pellegrini is just suspended there.
Juna messages, we're doing this, yes?
We have no choice. We're out of time.
What is this?
What's the this we're doing?
Bonbons or questions, I guess, are our options.
Questions first.
Can we even get him out of that thing?
Yeah, Orin is going to head over to the contraption and start seeing if he can figure out how you would release someone and if it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Make an arcana check.
Also, David, question. How long do we think it would take for us to get out from here?
Like back up and out the front of the house?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of minutes, I'll say.
So we're already screwed.
Yeah, David, while they're doing this, I'm gonna just do a bit of body percussion to inspire Gwen.
Ooh.
And then Guy is just like gonna trust them to do that while he's looking around for a keyhole in any door.
Very good.
Ooh, okay. So yeah, Gaius, first of all, yeah, on the three that you can see on this first floor, no, there's no keyhole. There's no keyhole within the room either. Are you going to head further down to keep looking?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, that's what Guy's going to occupy himself with whilst they are doing that.
Nice. So yeah, you kind of wander off down to the next floor. Oren.
Yeah, so
what was your arcana check?
It's a 21, but I'm going to flash a genius hit to a 26 because it's important.
Oh, amazing. Of course you are. Yeah, so you're having a close look at this table. And actually, yeah, it's not overly complicated. The runes and the arcane symbols on it. You figure out like the on-off switch pretty quickly. as you're looking at the rest of the diagrams, you realize that this can be used to get information out of the person that's strapped up.
Ooh.
Whether or not that's through inflicting some bits of pain, whether or not that's forcing them to talk in certain ways. Like, you can almost see that it's kind of almost, it's got an inbuilt, like, zone of truth. It's got inbuilt spells that you can activate, but assumedly at the cost of hurting the person in the contraption.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oof. Yeah, I feel like Orin feels like we should be trying to get answers, but feels like this table is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as soon as we've kind of got in there, Gwendolyn will be kind of looking at Juna like,
yeah,
kind of shrugging, almost like, shall we be getting answers now?
Yeah. Juna's going to cast Zone of Truth and Detect Thoughts.
Yeah, what save do they need?
Well, a great double team.
It's a 15-foot radius sphere. Is there a way I can get both the Faceless Footman and Pellegrini within that zone?
No, mate, they're outside.
Yeah, the shapeshifter's outside.
Okay, well, I'll do it so that Pellegrini's sort of in the far end of it. So if we want to bring the footman in, there's sort of space on the other side.
Side note, if there's been messaging back and forward, Orin will have messaged back up the chain that he thinks he can get Pellegrini out without too much difficulty, but Orin has neglected to mention that this can be used to extract information.
Very nice.
Okay.
So, yeah, what save does Pellegrini have to make for Zone of Truth?
Pellegrini has to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
That is a 17.
Yeah, he succeeds.
Succeeds on that, but you can still hear his thoughts.
Yeah, I can still hear the surface level.
And most of the surface level is just confusion. And he's kind of looking up, wondering who's opened the door. He can hear footsteps, but he can't really tell how many. A part of him's like the thoughts of like, is this some another kind of trick from the Arcanists? He's really confused, but holding fairly still.
Juno sort of sends down the line. It was Enkidu, wasn't it, who was going to ask the questions? Yeah.
But it might be safer to use somebody who can do message.
Or Orin was going to do... Oh, I don't know what anyone else is going to do unless someone messaged me.
Yeah, I think this is like another message.
Fine.
Yeah, I can message.
Can I retcon then that where I gave my bardic inspiration? Because for some reason in my head, I thought it was Gwen.
As in, like, you thought Gwen
I thought Gwen was going to do the questioning. I don't mind whatever you decide.
Yeah, I'm happy for you to switch it.
Okay, I've switched it. Retcon.
Retcon. Yeah.
So you've got bardic inspiration to Juno.
Yes.
Cool.
Nice.
I think then in that case, Juno's going to message in, if that's okay, if that's something that she can do, David?
Into
Pellegrini.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Having responded to Gwen, I'm going to do this because obviously time is of the essence for conversations. So she's like, yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And so she first of all messages in saying, Pellegrini, we don't want to hurt you, but we've got some questions for you, and just sort of goes in on the questions and to see what he answers. So she says, we saw you with a henge key. Where is it and what does it do?
It is an interesting experience, especially for you, Juno, because you are both hearing his answer and hearing his thoughts at the same time. So there is a kind of like, almost like feedback or like layering up of his voice that you're not instantly sure of which is which.
Mm-hmm.
But he responds saying, where did you see me with the henge king? Are you from before? And what you then get, like, image-wise almost, as you're trying to, like, as you're listening to his surface thoughts, are him with it wrapped up in the basement where you'd first seen him. He's putting it into a chest, and then you kind of see these quick flashes of images of him, like, casting a spell using one of the rings to just teleport the entire chest and a whole bunch of other things away. And then, recognizing your voice, he's seeing images of you, sort of almost like it's an interesting thing. Trying to seeing images of you stood in that basement under Sallow 16, where you'd seen him. It's like seeing the opposite viewpoint.
Yes, but I have a vested interest in the henges, particularly the witch in the woods. So if you could tell us, If you comply with us right now, there is a way we can get you out of here. But we need to know for our own reasons.
Again, in his head, there are images of almost like stereotypical witches in woods as he's trying to understand what it is that, like, you said. And then there's a witch on a broomstick sort of flying across the moon. loads of these weird images. And then sort of a picture of a vest, as you said, vested interest. And he imagines his clothes that he's not wearing anymore. And there's almost a longing for the clothes that he missed. And he's
the
like,
henge key. Could you please tell us about this henge key?
I can come with you if you let me free.
We need information before we can let you go.
That's all everybody wants at the moment. Information. And then it's more flashes of some of the torture that he's been through. Sort of just, it's less like clear these images, but they're much more sort of emotional bursts of pain which are slightly seeping into your into your mind as he pictures them. And almost looking at you with this sort of telepathic link that he's bouncing backward and forward between you and him, he's almost trying to push some of those images even further toward you.
We're not going to do this to you. We're not those people, but we need to know the answers. And if you help us, we can help you. That is the deal that's on the table. So are you going to tell me about this henge key? Or are you going to suffer more of this? Because I feel like that's your options right now.
Those aren't my only options.
Doesn't look like you have many other options right now.
Ah, there's always other options.
If you're talking about your shapeshifting friend, they're not coming for you.
Again, there's like flashes of conversations that they've had in the past. Pellegrini and their shapeshifting friend, as you put it.
This is your last chance. The henge key. And I think at this point, I mean, fuck it all. She's going to try and cast Detect Thoughts one more time.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to push even further in?
Even further in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not working.
It's a 16 this time.
Matches.
So yeah, you push forwards just a little bit. And it's almost like, as you're trying to like reach, you almost catch glimpses of things before he senses it. And then there is just a string of random imagery. There's him sipping a drink on a beach. There's a massive tree. There's a mountain exploding. There's going for a swim.
So you're not gonna comply?
I don't see exactly how you're helping me. There's no proof of you, wherever you are. I can't even see you for one. And all you've said is give me answers or you won't let me free. Well,
no, I said give us answers and we will free you.
But if I give you answers, there's no proof that that will happen.
But if I set you free, there's no proof you will give me answers.
Then we're stuck, aren't we?
We are stuck.
And you've come all the way down here just for me.
Not just for you.
Are you heading further down then?
Yes.
Let me know what you find. I was really interested. He kind of sighs, hangs his head a little bit.
I think whilst he's sighing, like, June is going to message Guy to sort of pass on to the others. Like, he's not giving me answers unless we let him go, and I'm not letting him go unless he gives us answers. He seems to think there's interesting things below. I can't get into his thoughts.
Which, Gaius, as you've headed downstairs...
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'll say, like, there's enough space, sort of distance-wise. Gaius will have picked up on that message. But you've reached a floor with only one door on it. It doesn't have a keyhole, unfortunately.
Damn.
But it's up to you whether or not you continue down or you look inside of this door.
Can I open the door?
Yeah, it's not locked.
I creak open the door a smidge and have a look in.
As you kind of, like, poke your invisible head inside. This room structurally is much the same as the cells upstairs. It's a long, thin, straight room. What is slightly off-putting about this one is that each wall to your left and right, as you look in, is filled with little alcoves, and each one contains a bell jar, a big domed jar in each of these alcoves, with kind of glowing statuesque busts contained within. Those alone, like, sort of they sort of fill up a couple of the alcoves. There are a few alcoves that are empty.
Yeah.
But they stretch the length of this room. That in itself is very interesting. But what catches your attention ever so slightly more is the plinth at the far end with a handprint on it.
Just remind me, gang, what's that?
That is the messaging mirrors
that we saw in Kral's tower.
I thought we were going to see that. I thought so. Does it appear to be cracked?
Nope. The plinth is... It looks fine. If anything, it looks in a better condition than the one that you saw at Kral's.
It's in use.
To be clear as well, there was the one in... The ones in Kral's place was... There was one that was cracked... One that said,
but that was
trust.
After
It's only revealed once you put your hand on it. Yeah.
Mirrors after someone's put their hand on the plinth.
Yeah.
So we put our hand on the plinth and then it took...
Yeah, a countdown.
Took us to a thing and they did a countdown, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right, right. I see. So.
And then the mirrors were in front once the countdown had finished.
As you're stood looking at these yeah row of glowing busts and this plinth at the end, that's when Juna's message comes through.
Okay. Guy will like snap his head back up and go, okay, I am not familiar. I'm prioritizing a keyhole. We need an exit strategy. So he'll close the door quietly and he'll go down further just to see if there's anything further. He'll only go one further level just to see for a keyhole and then he'll come back up to the group.
Cool. The next floor down again, there's no keyhole, but there is another single door.
He'll poke his head in just to have a look.
This one is not a long corridor type room. This one is actually much wider. Very big, probably about 80 feet by 80 feet. Big space. It's lit with sort of lanterns around the edge. And in the middle of the room, there is a circle of obelisks. Sort of 5-6 different obelisk structures. Not that high. They probably come up to your shoulder.
Fuck's sake.
And in the center of, like, sort of the floor connecting these obelisks is all arcane runes and patterns. And in the center of that is a table with another one of these glass bell jars. But this one's empty, sort of perched on it.
And there isn't any further stairs going down?
Oh, the stairs continue downwards even beyond that.
Oh, God, that's tempting. But I feel like I would be wasting time. I'll go back up. And as I go back up, like, one further level, I will, like, message towards, like, Juno will be busy, I assume, so I'll point to, like, Auron, hoping that he will get my message of, like, just relaying, like, first level down, there's something similar to Kral's Tower. Second level down, there is a weird obelisk and a table with a bell jar. No keyholes yet.
Can Auron reply, do they look like the henge key?
Did they look like the henge key, David?
I don't know if Gaius has ever seen it.
Oh.
But, I mean, from description at least, no, it doesn't. That was much more of a rod thing, as Auron described it, whereas these are pretty solid structures, little obelisks.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. I hope the title of this, our 69th episode, is bringing you as much immature joy as it has brought me. Thank you all for going down this podcast path with us here at No Small Roles. Now, if you are a lover of podcasts, you may be interested to know that both Vicky and Daryl are soon to guest on a brand new podcast from the Dot Collective called A Map to You, Life Stories from the Living. The Dot Collective is a registered charity and professional theatre company that creates and provides theatre for those living in care, particularly, but not exclusively for, those living with dementia. The Dot Collective really is a fantastic company that makes incredible work, and many of us at No Small Roles have had the pleasure to take part over the years, so we would particularly love it if you would go and give this new show a listen. In other news, like theatre news, Ben is still touring America with Dragons and Mythical Beasts, so US listeners, don't miss your chance to see him in this enchanting family show. And the theatre company you hear us talk about quite often, Open Bar, also has some exciting developments in the pipeline, so make sure you're following them on @WeAreOpenBar on all the social media. Of course, you can contact us on social media at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram, search No Small Roles on Facebook, and join our Discord server to chat with us, the superfans, and of course your fellow crumpets. We'd also really appreciate it if you would drop us a review on iTunes and places like Podchaser.
I know I say this all the time, but it really does make a difference in helping us to grow the podcast. And hey, if you've reviewed us already in the past, why not screenshot it and share it on social media so more people get to see your lovely reviews, and we love to see them again and again. And depending on where you're listening in the world, there is a chance that we may not have even seen your review because, for example, we don't get to see what gets reviewed on Australian iTunes, etc. So do screenshot it, even if you're writing us a new review, screenshot it, share it on social media so that more people can just see how much you love No Small Roles. And don't forget, you can rate us on Spotify. That's all from me for now. Let's take you back below Chargirl Talk.
So, back as you rejoin the others, Gaius, how's the negotiation going?
Side note, DM, I'd like to start doing something while negotiation continues.
Okay, what are you doing?
But you carry on with this if you want, and then I'll explain what I'm doing in a minute.
Okay. Does that make me nervous? Juno, he's just throwing, as you're listening to his thoughts, he's throwing a whole as much chaos and random at you as he can.
Do I try one more time?
Your call, Batman.
We're about to be besieged.
What would Juno do? She'd just... let's do it one more time. I mean, she is going through the spell slots, but we need to do this.
Yeah.
That, if you... yeah, go for another detect thoughts, was a 13.
Let's go.
Come on.
Yeah. As you are fighting through all of these random images, you kind of, yeah, push even further. And you almost land in it's an odd space within his thoughts. It's kind of like it's much emptier. You can still feel some of those random chaotic energies sort of pushing in around you, but then there's just this little moment of silence for your own brain, which is quite nice. What are you looking for?
I am looking for anything to do with Henges. If I was like googling his brain, it would be Henge key, then yeah. Henges would be like top of the list. They were top of our questions, weren't they? Yeah, it's like, it's where is the Henge key? What does it do? What do the Henges do? And what do you plan to do with the key? Are like those first initial questions. She's searching for those in that order. So whatever she can find in that order.
Amazing. So yeah, the images that start coming out and like the knowledge of Henges does start almost like forming around you in a kind of little Henge.
Itself.
These sort of images and dancing things, and you're catching bits of discussion where somebody's telling him that the Hex have managed to get their hands on something. He seems excited about that. You're seeing some of the agreements and the reaching out to the Hex that he's been having, the actual transaction, and how much it has cost to acquire this rod, this Henge key. It's sort of a good 10,000 gold pieces that they've paid for.
Whoa.
Seems cheap.
It's a hefty amount of money. You can almost see an image of a map at one point, and drifting in amongst the towns and the cities of the Fields of Valor, you start seeing a location start to be pinpointed near the Tor Bear Bog. Yeah. You've never actually been there yourself. It seems to be out of the way slightly between a couple of smaller villages, but like then you get a very definite look at a map of this location, with a sort of circled, and like you're seeing then like a Henge almost rising out of the map. Then books, like there's loads of like reading that's sort of coming through his own memory along with a whole other voice, a bunch of voices that are explaining that the Henge key allows you to open it.
Oh, fuck me.
There is like sort of Orcosian writing that he's having trouble deciphering, but it's both regarded as a weapon and a key.
The Henge or the Henge key, sorry.
the henge key.
The henge key
is being referred to, it, like in different writings, is referred to as a weapon, as a in some instances, as a key in others.
And do I only get this? Do I only get this through his understanding of Orcosian?
Exactly. Yeah. And what he's been told.
I wouldn't be able to understand more as I speak Orcosian.
No, this is kind of his thoughts and his understanding of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you kind of get this flood of information. Is there anything else that you're looking for?
So the Tor Bear Bog,
mm-hmm.
Do I get the impression that that's where a henge is or where the key is, or do I not know?
You get the impression that that's where a henge is and that's where he had intended to take the key. As you then start, looking at where the key actually is.
Yeah.
There is a feeling of chaos.
Oh.
That... something seems to be interrupting that, even in his own thoughts. He knows he sent it through a ring. He knows he has teleported it to his friends, to other children of Havoc. But then as you kind of try to press in further as to where exactly, he doesn't even have a full understanding of it.
So he only knows it's gone with other children of Havoc.
Yeah, he knows it's safe with his friends, but essentially he's gone with this entire, clearing out system that they had an air of send it where you can,
mm-hmm.
and don't think about it so that nobody knows. A bit of chaos even in the organization.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Deliberate chaos even in the structure of the organization.
And with him sort of, I mean, tell me when I have to stop.
Oh, I'll let you go with something else. Yeah, give me one more.
So I think with all of this, it's gone with a child of Havoc. There's chaos within the organization. I'd quite like to probe into what he specifically knows about the Children of Havoc. Does he know how many of them there are? Does he know where they are or where they could be, basically?
Yeah. So, yeah, you push forward for an answer as to, more information about the Children of Havoc. And you get a lot of joyful images. There is a lot of chaos, a lot of pranks amongst them, a lot of jibing, but also a good strong feeling of family. And from his perspective, you see five other figures. There are no names attached to them, but there is one that is shifting in different ways. There is one who you can assume is Dane, the archer, as he's sort of juggling knives and
that was his name.
Striking things very exactly.
Orcai, yeah.
Last we find out his name.
We did find out.
I'm joking.
see a dwarven type fellow laughing away. Sort of relaxed back. There's a...
any indication of his class would be helpful.
There's...
and his hit points.
A tiefling woman with yellowish skin who, yeah, she's giggling away in a corner with a drink to herself. And there's Heron Ilwyn.
What?
Quite jovially and quite relaxed.
No!
Sitting and looking at his friends.
No!
Guys, we are the grandchildren of Havoc. It's all been a lie.
Oh, well then, fuck it. We can go through the door.
Into his house. Into his house.
He doesn't know that we know.
He will soon.
He
will.
He doesn't know.
Oh, my.
He won't. He doesn't know what we've been up to.
He knows things.
This changes everything.
So hang on. So there was the shifting one, faces, footman. There was Dane, Archer. There was
Giggles.
And did any of those recognize Giggles?
Where was Heron going on business?
Giggles was the laughing one, right?
Yeah.
The tiefling.
The one that me and...
the tiefling woman.
Yeah, tiefling woman.
We had one safety corner in this world.
Heron's got the fucking...
pulled the rug under us.
Ugh.
Oh, I wonder if Giggles' real name is Liana.
Oh, yeah.
Heron might have the key.
Who's Liana?
That was
that
the name,
random
that,
name
that,
that I heard.
That Gwen overheard when she went through the door one night to leave a beer for...
Nurum.
Nurum, thank you. I said the name earlier and forgot it.
I knew Nurum was dodgy from the start.
Maybe Nurum knows nothing. Maybe Nurum's an innocent.
No, he's the first to die. He's on the list. Him and his potatoes.
Oh, God.
I have so many questions now.
So many questions.
Oh, my God. Mind
but we don't know this. Only Juno knows currently.
Yeah, only Juno knows this.
Yeah. Sorry, Orin, you see Juno take a very sharp breath.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Juno, like, does an audible, like...
Orin's busy, and...
Can I just say that Gwendolyn's been on lookout this whole time, because it's just FYI.
There's a bunch of Arcanists right next to us, just like...
Oh, Inkin is blocking... No way, he can't block anything. He's invisible. You can see right through him. But, yeah, Faceless Footman's on the other side of the door.
And yeah, with that last piece of information there, Juno, you almost recoil out of his thoughts.
Damn, freaking straight.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That is a chunky piece of lore right there.
Oh my goodness.
That is a cornerstone of our
Faceless
whole campaign.
Footman, Day, Giggles, and Heron Ilwin, and a mysterious dwarf.
Ooh.
Delicious.
Never mind.
And now all I want to do is like talk to Kiera about it all.
No!
No, he's probably in.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes total sense for like him being like, oh, I want to see and what is going on with the consortium and what's going on there and blah, 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 and stuff like that.
Should we play this through and have this chat?
Yes. Yeah. Let's keep playing the game, everybody. Yeah. Play the game.
And I've just turned up just like, invisible, not seeing anyone, just been like, I assume everyone is doing their thing.
Juno.
My butt hurts. My butt really
I think,
really
first
hurts.
Of all, like a sassy fucking bitch just sort of like messages to Pellegrini, thank you. And just
you're welcome.
She really hates him. And then what does she even say to the others now in the middle of this? I think she says lots of this. So this is to Guy, first of all. Lots of information. 5 children of Havoc. Faceless Footman, Dane, Dwarf, Giggles, and Heron.
Gaius responds back immediately to Juno. Wait, our Heron?
Yep. And then I think like she's like, we need to let the others know. So it's almost like just trying to like get the messages out as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hear lots of gasps around the place.
Because that's just to note, detect thoughts takes a minute. Of like thinking,
oh. Right?
Which means that you are now out of time.
Yeah,
your magical immunity, as it were, is over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna roll something. Sorry, bear with me. I was safe. Gaia says "fuck me" in his head. He doesn't say it out loud.
Sure. Orin, what have you been doing this whole time?
Yeah, so Orin has gone over to one of the other metal doors that isn't this one in this room. Has gone inside the cell. And with a combination of his various smith's tools, his blowtorch, and his tinker's tools, is it possible to engineer a keyhole in about a minute?
I'm gonna need a keyhole
to get me back to another hack.
Everyone's room.
God.
Mate, it's gonna be very difficult. I know you're an Abracalad. So, but can you make a blacksmith's tools check?
Come on, buddy.
Come on.
This
blacksmith's
is
tools check.
It.
Yeah.
Using my intelligence, using my strength, using my dexterity. What?
Using your dexterity. I will say, because you're trying to be precise and make a small keyhole as opposed to just blast a hole in this door.
Cool. Thank you. Using dexterity.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone.
This is your time, Orin.
Orin's been doing that whilst Juno was inside.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, a bit of overlap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, if you let me know, I could have given you some bardic inspiration.
You were downstairs.
I know. Yeah, that's
fair. You were doing your thing.
Oh, for flip's sake.
No.
Make it a 30 at least.
Okay. Let me just... I mean...
You've used Flash of Genius already.
No, I can use it 5 times a day. That's not the problem.
Five times a day?
That's why he's an abracadabra.
That's not the problem.
Oh, because you rolled a 1.
Yeah, I mean, David, so I'm going to tell you the result first of all.
Yeah.
So the good news is...
Yeah.
The good news is...
Yeah.
I rolled an 18.
Okay.
The bad news is it was technically a natural one.
Okay. Okay, so it doesn't make a hole. What you realize as you close the door to, like, you know, give yourself some, you know, balance against, like, you know, making the keyhole and stuff and getting ready to test it. You close the door and there's no handle on the inside, and then you don't make a hole, so you just close yourself in one of the other cells.
Oh my flipping days.
Is what we will say. That's your natural one.
Oh no.
So intent and like, oh yeah, this is a great idea. I can focus on this Excellent. Thing. And then you close yes. it. You focus, you go, this isn't working. Oh, how do I open the door?
Gwendolyn's been on lookout out there that whole time. Can she realise at some point that Oren's been in there a bit too long and just open it?
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Assuming he's gone to the toilet or something, just wanted some privacy. Which and is... yeah, brief knock on the door outside.
As the messages have gone up the chain, we all know by now, right?
About?
Yeah.
Yeah. Enkidu immediately just turns around, draws the scimitar, walks outside, slices the faces footman's throat. And the Shadow Spawn will, after that, will just tear their head off.
Well, first of all, mm-hmm. I'm going to say make an attack roll. Because obviously they're going to squirm
Advantage.
As you approach. Oh, I mean, they can't see, but as they feel a blade see. Against their throat.
And they're being held.
They are being held. So you get what? You get advantage on it.
It's high. It's really high. It's 17 plus at least 7. Oh, it's plus 8. So 17 plus 8 is like 25.
Yeah, it's high. I mean, that's enough. So... Yeah, you slice their throat.
Jesus.
This image of Petrogranius flashes between a whole bunch of people, quite violently turning into, and this is horrible, it's turning into like old people and children and all of them like bleeding out in front of you. It does fall into smaller forms as it kind of is changing the shape. And the Shadow Spawn is trying to keep hold, but with it changing, that's really difficult. Eventually, the body stops shifting. Mm-hmm. And a ring explodes out of their pocket and just the body disappears.
I take the ring.
No, the ring's gone with them.
The ring's gone with it.
Yeah.
In the same way that Dane's body had been taken off.
They've been Dane.
As the Shadow Spawn is like wrestling with them, suddenly this whole body is gone.
Because they can be resurrected.
Yep.
Somewhere else.
Yep.
They were never going to tell us what that was.
Well, that's one thing out of that.
One thing we don't have to worry about carrying around with us.
Yep. We need a keyhole, and do we need anything else from
No, fuck this guy.
No, but as in, like, because we are owed information to the one or two members of the consortium.
If you mention that on the chat, Oren will go, I think we've got some intel that they really want to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Guy will just like, Guy will just be like waving frantically to try and get Oren's attention, get his attention.
Yep.
And go,
can he see you? Oh, right.
What's yourself. The thoughts? Like, what's the crack? Are we like trying to bail here, or are we trying to like take him with us?
As a question, as obviously you can all be detected now, are you speaking out loud, or are you going to continue to message through each other's heads?
Probably message.
At this point,
I would say message.
We're in the habit of messaging.
Yeah, I would admit. I would immediately say message because just voices can be heard, voices can be matched, voices can be remembered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also Pellegrini can hear if we start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
At the moment, he's only heard Juna's voice in his head.
Oh yeah, at some point. There will be a message around, and I think Oren had the watch, didn't he? So he would have obviously let everyone know 10 minutes is up.
Gwendolyn will reply to something that comes her way, up or down.
Guys will message back saying to Gwen, down, more secrets potentially revealed, but less chance of keyholes. Upstairs, more chance of keyholes, but less chance of secrets revealed.
David, can just do a little history check. Do we remember seeing keyholes when we were up there?
In the doors upstairs?
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked one to get into...
Of course, great.
Pellegrini.
Just wanted to double check.
Into Petra's, private spaces.
Cool. Okay, let's get out of here. Gwendolyn will reply to Gaius and hope that that's what everybody else wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Gaius will relay to everyone, we're leaving. Do we want to take Peregrine with us?
Pellegrini.
Pedigree?
Not pedigree. Not particularly. The deal was that he gave us answers and we take him and he didn't. So I feel like Petra's keeping him here and wants the information that we maybe have. So leave him, unless anyone wants to take him.
David,
mm-hmm.
Can, if Gwendolyn gets out the magical detection bonbon, does she reckon that we could cut it into 5? And give ourselves a bit of extra cover.
You could cut it up, but whether or not it would then ultimately work as much, it could have some other fun effects.
She doesn't know enough about magic, and she doesn't think it's worth the risk.
Yeah, that's up to you.
Okay,
you don't know what would happen, whether or not it would give you all 2 minutes, or whether or not it wouldn't work at all.
We'd grow an extra leg.
Yeah. There's too much going on right now for her to mention it. She's just like, let's get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and none of us know, apart from Guy, what was downstairs, do we?
No. Guy messaged Orin, I think, to say to Orin what was downstairs.
Guy messaged Orin saying about nothing to do with Henge Key.
Does anybody think that we should go down there?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Are we going to, because we're never going to be here again.
I know, I'm desperate to go downstairs, but also.
We will die.
We will die.
Yeah. If we all go downstairs, we are bottlenecked and we will die.
And there's no doors.
Then let's go.
Yeah. Other than curiosity, there's nothing we need downstairs.
No.
Let's go upstairs and find a keyhole.
Mm.
I will just shout out very quickly to every single person just to get a final vote. So, Juno. Yeah.
Yeah. Once we get up there, we can't message anymore.
Yeah, okay. So, Juno, down or up?
Up.
Enkidu?
Up, but put the torch machine on before we go.
Orin.
Which Enkidu doesn't know about.
He doesn't know it's a torture machine.
Because Orin has not told anyone.
Okay. Fine.
Very deliberately has not told anyone.
After we've just seen
a
horrific death in front of us as well.
Yes, Orin specifically has not told Enkidu is what's happened.
Orin
reluctantly ums and ahs and then goes up.
And Gwen.
Yeah, she's up.
Let's bail all.
Okay.
I send the shadow spawn ahead.
She's leading because she's fastest. Yeah. And
As you do start exiting the room, though.
Like,
clearly there are, all of you making a way out. So it's like sort of people leaving a room, the door moving. You do just hear Pellegrini shout out, "What makes you think you're not implicated?"
I will yell back. You've got 15 seconds to explain that comment, my friend. Otherwise, we're gone. And realizes he said it out loud and has gone, "Ooh.
You've been doing what we've been doing.
Leave. Leave. Don't let him delay us.
God,
leave.
No.
You cause as much havoc as we do.
Leave."
What's weird is that I've strangely started to like him now, and then Guy is eyeing up the thing though.
He really has a point.
Yeah. He really has a point. He has a valid point.
We have caused so much chaos, so much havoc. Enkidu will just whisper, "Don't give him the power. You're not the same as him. We are leaving. Let him rot. Leave him here. We have to live."
Gaius will turn and follow.
Orin will get Guy's hand, double squeeze hand, the message thing.
Message.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, can you message Enkidu? Maybe we shouldn't take that thing back upstairs. We're not going to be visible, but that thing is going to be very visible. Or otherwise, can you ask him to send it in a different... Oh, this is a second message now, sorry. Can you send it in a completely different direction to us? Which room are we all going to? We all need to go to the same place. We can't message up there.
Okay, fine. I will relay to Enkidu. Keep the shadow fiend down here. Cause a bit of mischief with it. And which room?
Said a true child of havoc, Guy.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I am. You know what? We said we weren't going to do any more spiraling. I am spiraling so hard.
So hard.
As you approach the,
oh, can I reply
the top
to that?
Of the stairs. Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Someone else can go ahead of it. If someone's waiting for us, Shadow Spawn can be decoy while we run the other way. I will hang it back until the coast is clear.
Okay.
End of the message.
As you head up and start approaching the opening, there is a lot of foot traffic up there.
Oh. Fuck!
Gwendolyn's going to stop before she gets too close
exactly,
for it to open.
Before it opens, you can hear a lot of
rushing backwards and forwards. There's muffled voices.
Does it seem like they can't get down because we have the amulet?
You can't tell the panic. You don't know whether or not they can't get down, whether or not they don't know they can get down. But there is
whether they've discovered a decapitated body in the ballroom,
and they don't know that there's anything down here anyway, because maybe only some people, very few people know.
Yeah, you can't quite tell. All you know is that there is almost constant moving up and down the stairs around sort of the floor directly above your head.
David, do we recall this leads up into the basement, doesn't it? And the basement has six doors off it.
Yep.
Do those doors have keyholes?
Some of them do.
Some of them do.
But as soon as we open that, people are going to be there's going to be something that's going to drop the magic. Do we go down?
We don't want to go from a hornet's nest to our secret hideaway. We do not want that. Maybe the
our
best
secret hideaway that belongs to our enemy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, greatest and most powerful enemy.
There's a lot of things to unwind here and unpick. But is the now question to dive deeper into the ant's nest to see if there's another way out?
I think so.
If we spend long enough down here, we might level up and eventually get teleportation spells, and then we can just
no
leave.
No time. And Gaius like shakes at Orin and just like, what do we do? We gotta do something.
As soon as we get out there, we're going to be hit with some sort of, like, this is Gwendolyn messaging back to somebody. We're going to get hit with some sort of magic. I should do it in her voice. We're going to get hit with some sort of magic dispellment. Like, if we go out there, we're dead.
We are.
If we go down... we might be less dead.
I like the idea of less dead. Less dead should be our motto.
I like the idea of less dead too.
Spiral down to less dead?
We spiral down
to less dead.
And we can find out what those mirrors are about.
Oh my god.
Let me just roll 4d6 six times because I think it's reached that point.
Nope. Have ye of little faith.
So, as you go down,
oh my gosh.
Are you going to go into any of the doors on the other floors? Are you just going to carry straight the way down as far as you can?
I mean, I want to go in the mirror room.
I want to go in the mirror room. I'm not going to lie. If we're going to nearly die, I want to go in the mirror room.
Sure.
Sorry.
In the mirror room.
I was just talking like my niece then, of just like, this is what I need to do.
The panic.
Just like, the panic's messaging that's going as we go traipsing back down the spiral staircase.
Oh my god.
Was it the next floor down was the mirror room, or was the next floor down the stone room?
So the next floor down was the gallery of glass bell jars with the plinth at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one you're going into?
Yeah,
we need to know what that does, right?
Yeah, we need to know something else. We have to come up with something else after all this.
Cool. So, you head on in. Again, are you closing the door behind you?
No, not leaving it
open. Wonderful.
I'll leave the shadow spawn outside as a sentry.
How long's that?
Nice.
That thing lasts hours.
An hour, concentration.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
Is there a handle on the inside, David?
Not of this one, no. That's why I was checking.
can the shadow spawn open doors?
Yeah, it can do. It's humanoid. Like what you use? It's humanoid. Like very muscular, taller than Enkidu, and it's like wispy, shadowy, glowing red eyes. It's humanoid. It can do everything you want it to do.
Mm. Can we call him Slim Shady?
He has a name. Oh. I've just not said it.
Marshall.
Wow.
So yeah, Slim Shady then. So yeah, he's sort of positioned outside, and the rest of you edge on in.
Gwendolyn actually wants to.
Gwendolyn going to stay at the doorway?
Yes, she can see. She's got good eyesight. She can see what's going on from far away.
Okay.
She's keeping an eye on everything going on.
David.
Yeah.
Detect magic is still up, I believe, for another. Was going to last another 4.5 minutes after our. Thingy dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Are these spell jars magical?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
There's a strong necromantic magic coming from all of them.
Man.
As you walk on in.
Oh, man.
My favorite kind of magic.
As you kind of, edge into this space with each of these, each glowing in slightly different shades, different colours, each of these busts. There are no labels or anything.
There's like busts inside each...
In each bell jar. Yeah, kind of like head and shoulders of a person that's kind of, yeah, quite ethereal, almost ghostly, you could say.
Do we recognise any of them?
Yeah.
From any of the pictures upstairs, for example?
Chargirl.
You recognise all of them from the pictures from upstairs.
Oh, no.
We're in a crypt right now.
Basically. And as you look down, you see... Petrogranius, Hilda de Sossamel, you see Anton Karna.
No.
You do not see Adathal Chargelt.
We do not.
We see Petrogranius's head in a bell jar.
Yep.
Because her body's still walking around and it's got Chargelt in it.
Petrogranius's head.
Oh!
Yes. Floating about.
Orin goes to point at it to everyone and then realises everyone's invisible.
And then as you kind of edge into the room, each of these ghosts and these busts do turn a little bit to watch you all in curiosity.
They can see us.
No.
Yep.
Burn them all.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
burn
no.
them all.
Can we talk burn to them? Them.
Burn them, guys.
So
fucking burn them.
To clarify, just for my own dyslexic head, for our viewers, I am dyslexic.
Listeners.
What did I say?
Viewers.
It's just viewers.
For the five
of
us. As you said, dyslexic, so it's perfect.
You know what? It's canon, guys.
It's hey. Canon.
So in theory, then, we can say that one of the founders of the consortium is still alive through, like, possessing the people who are in charge of the consortium.
Theory.
And like
I think
their
it's a
spirit,
strong
their bodies are like in these bus down here.
They could be in Enkidu like situation. There could be an Erida body walking around as the head of the consortium.
Oh, I think she's
a robot.
I don't think she is a robot. I think she's repossessing the bodies of each new head.
Is there any high-ranking wizard that just goes, you know what, death, it's not a big deal, let's just accept
all
it.
Of them! Like, all of them have done it!
No, I want to live forever! I want to be like a weird form of
no,
lich!
No, you didn't listen to him finish his sentence. His
Sorry.
Sentence was saying...
Sorry. The other way around.
Yeah, he's saying, okay. Nobody just accept death. No.
Sorry. Like, they all fucking...
They all want to live forever.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we are in the house of Chargelt.
Burn them. Burn them all.
I think we should try and talk to them.
Oh.
Gwendolyn messages as all this is going on in messagey headiness.
June is definitely up for a chat.
We have to get out of here as well. We have to escape.
They know exactly who we are now.
So Chargelt is... Wait, we're invisible still. How are they looking at us?
They can see invisibility if Orin can
Holy
do it.
Shit.
They can do it.
Right, I'll walk up to one. Walk up to
of course.
One of them's Chargelt, right?
No.
Chargelt is not
that's
there.
Exactly the thing.
One of them's Granius.
One of them's yep. Granius.
Go with Granius.
All right, I'll go to Granius. I'm like, what happened to you?
Almost like ethereally, like out of the bottom of this bust, just a hand presses up against the side of the glass and you can see her mouth moving, but you can't hear anything.
Can I, like, attempt to decipher what they're... lips are saying anything at all?
Make a I don't know. Can Enkidu lip read?
I imagine he would have to like pick pockets on the street and
I'll
stuff.
Say make a perception a check. It's
and
very
communication
it's very
with
high.
Light because light didn't talk much.
Well, light had their own sign language which they taught Enkidu, so it's not really universal.
It's not lip reading.
No. And they could speak anyway when they wanted to. Dude, that's low.
No, you can't quite make it out.
And how can I interpret like the way they've put their hand in the glass? Is it like they're reaching out, or they in pain, or
it's all quite slow in the way that they're moving. Yeah. And yeah, even this little handprint that comes up is kind of like wispy, glowing a soft, yeah, teal color.
Oh my gosh,
for Petra. And it's. You're not quite sure whether or not it's like a pleading or whether or not it's a warning of some kind or what it is. You can't be certain. They're definitely trying to communicate something with you, though.
Right.
But they look like they want people to understand. Mm-hmm. Like maybe if someone were to look inside their thoughts, they would be compliant?
I think it'd be quite difficult to look inside the thoughts of a ghost, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
Juno would know that.
Yeah.
I love that as a sentence. It's difficult to look in the thoughts of a ghost. Juno would know that.
She's well-travelled. Yeah. She's well-travelled.
She's well-travelled. Yeah. Gosh.
Gwendolyn is wondering if any chats come into her head of what if we just lift the bell jar?
Lift the bell jar.
Acuity lifts the jar, like slowly lifts the jar.
So as you lift the whole thing, first of all, you realize that the glass itself is sealed to the base. Meaning that you can lift the whole jar and the platform that it's the little sort of circular platform that it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But it, even a brief check, it doesn't come free, that bottom bit.
But I can lift the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So you can carry.
Yeah, I'll pick it up.
Petrogranius in a bell jar.
Right, I do
that to our inventory.
I pick it up and like put it down. So
how big is she?
See.
Would she go in the bag holding?
can she go in a caddy?
it's probably about a foot high.
That's not very big.
It's not very big. It's like a small.
It's a little bell jar.
Head and shoulders.
Head and shoulders.
David, can she get into the caddy? That's our question.
She's probably a little bit big for the caddy.
but she's not so huge and heavy. She's really cumbersome.
You can't carry her. Exactly.
I can't carry her. No.
We fit her in a large pocket.
I've got a bag. I've got a satchel.
Do you?
I do.
5,000 satchel.
The DM, yeah, you could put her in a bag. Me up here. It's a 7,000-pound satchel. Yeah, no.
At some point, if someone messages Orin will go, do we want to take him? Do we want to smash them?
Take her.
I'm on the vibe of take
her.
Does
Juno have any
time.
Knowledge of like of this kind of ghost? Like whether they're like dangerous?
Make a history check, Juno. Yeah.
Oh my god, my history.
I'll do it a kind of along the lines of, folk tales and things that she's learned throughout her time.
I'm going to say she knows nothing. 5.
No. There are lots of different stories. Yeah, some ghosts can be quite nice.
Yeah.
Some ghosts, much more aggressive. None of these, even as they're watching you, seem to be acting out in an aggressive way.
Mm.
It's much calmer and much more serene. Though whether or not that's just because they're in bell jars.
Yeah.
Or whether
they look happy in the bell jar?
Guy will open up his bag and say... And message to Enkidu, who looks like he's holding the bus, just be like,
yeah,
buddy, we ain't got time. If we want to like chat to this person, we can do it on our own time.
Oh, wait a minute,
right,
can
now.
We actually see each other?
Oh no, we can't.
No, we can't.
See the bell jar.
We can see
a floating bell jar.
I spoke to it out loud. Yeah,
which takes a good moment to. I'll say the glass of the bell jar starts to turn invisible, and you will see that, but the actual bust doesn't as much. So there is a small glow where Enkidu is stood holding it.
Through the system that we've got going.
Sure.
Okay. As I'm looking at Petra, I'm like, I will say to her, like, whisper as quietly as I can, no matter what your beliefs are or were or what you are trying to do, there's nothing that can be done until you tell us more. So you're going to have to come with us so you can have your say. And then I don't know, I can't see anyone.
No.
I wouldn't give it.
As you're kind of looking down at this ghost though, again trying to like read its reaction, there are some, in a very Enkidu way, there are some odd hand gestures.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to imply, all right, I'm on board. Maybe, or she could be threatening to kill you. It's hard to say. There's like a flappy hand, almost like a thumbs up, like rubbing the edge of the bell jar. You hope that means it's good.
Guys will slightly tug the jar out from this like floating space,
mm-hmm.
and just like allow it to go into his satchel if Enkidu allows that. I don't know.
Yeah, I can only assume it's like one of us doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As it's kind of, and Enkidu, you know that it's going into a bag from the way that the view of the ghost starts disappearing a little bit more, and is then completely covered over as the top of the bag is is closed.
Yeah. This is so not how I imagined this going.
No.
But we need to leave with something.
Stealing a ghost head.
We've got something. We've got the thing.
We've got a butt ton
of information.
Just if we can get out.
We just need to get out.
Do we want to check the video calling system?
I'm tempted to check the video and calling system and just check in on where everyone's at. But on the other hand, we know what it does.
We've got a ghost in a jar now. Just keep going down.
But maybe there's interesting information in the video calling system.
I agree, but the feds are upstairs literally banging on the doors.
Whoever they'd call with the video calling system is probably upstairs.
Yep.
No, we know where the video calling system goes. And it doesn't go upstairs.
Yeah.
To one of the recipients of the others. So whoever would be standing on their side of the mirrors, receiving the call would be upstairs is what I meant. So it goes to the other...
Whoever's hand would go on it would be upstairs, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. So, but like anybody that would see us, it would be people very far away.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm assuming like it's like a Zoom, wizard Zoom, which is what I called it last time. And none of those folks who are on the other side are at home. They're literally upstairs. Yeah. That's what I meant.
A descending staircase.
Oh, look, a descending staircase at the end of the episode.
The other people on the other side of the mirrors wouldn't be upstairs, though.
No.
It's the other founders.
Yeah, that's... That was my point.
Yeah.
It's Kral, it's whoever the other things are.
I was assuming the current consortium members were using the same thing.
No,
that's what I meant.
No. I don't think so.
Let's move on. At the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
I really, really want to have a go, but I don't think that's what, as a party, we would do.
We'll just...
Anyway. We've gone down to the next level.
There are so many more steps down. You go past the door to the large room. Do you go in there with the one with the obelisks that Gaius again has told you all about? I assume in all of this hurried chat. Yeah. Do you go into it? Do you continue down it?
At the very least, Oren will stick his head in just to see if it's magical.
It's inactive, but it is magical, yeah. There's a strong necromantic energy going on in there. Especially emanating from these carved stone obelisks.
Are the numbers of the obelisks, just quickly, are the numbers of the obelisks corresponding with the number of heads in bell jars?
No.
Oh.
No, so there's, I think I said six obelisks around the edge, and then a table in the middle with an empty bell jar. And then arcane runes across the floor between all of the obelisks and the
table. Does it look, I mean, who knows, in the same way that Juna knows about talking to ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Does Oren have any inclination in his sort of magical understanding of how things work? Is this some sort of room where you could put a head into a jar and make an undead head jar?
Make a quick arcana check.
Because there's an empty jar on the table, there's magical necromantic stones. Mm-hmm. Oren is starting to put two and two together on this one, rightly or wrongly. That would be a 26.
26. You could say that this looks like the ritual, the place in which you would extract someone's soul and put it in a bell jar.
Yep.
Wow.
Oren will double squeeze Guy and be like, this is the room where the heads go in the jars, and we don't need to be in here. Let's go.
Let's go. Go, down.
Amazing. So actually, as you continue downwards, there are no more flat platforms or sort of flatter platforms. No more doors.
Oh, man.
Shit.
And you keep going down, hoping that there's another one. Keep going down. And you're going down for about 5, 6, 7 minutes. And you hit the bottom as the stairway does end. It's gotten colder and colder as you've descended. And as you sort of reach the base of this stairwell, it's rough stone, slightly damp, from just the cold and the condensation under here. And there is a very long tunnel pointing ahead of you.
So whoever's nearby, because we've all like come down like bustling next to each other, I hold each other's hands and go and just give a squeeze and start walking forwards, because we've either got like arcanists behind us or darkness before us, and I think the darkness is more
this now bridging. Becomes the decision. I think we're getting into the territory of the invisibility is going to wear off. Like, this is our decision now, isn't it?
We start to tentatively walk forward.
Holding hands.
Yeah.
I hold the Shadowspawn's hand. should.
Amazing.
It's my friend.
As you start down this tunnel, the first few steps in, small orbs of light start appearing above you so that you have a better view of where you're going. But with each step, it almost feels like there's a small rush of wind blowing in your face. And after a few, one of you turns around just to see that you've traveled much further down this tunnel.
Oh. Oh. Than
you felt like you had. You've taken maybe 10 steps, and it looks like you've taken 100.
Like a magical travelator.
Oh, no. It's a portal.
Still not a portal. It's very much not a portal. Okay. You can still see the light at the bottom of the stairs from where you've come. And ahead, there is a distant light as well. Mm. And the more you walk, almost like the faster and the further that you're traveling. Mm. Until, after no time at all, actually, you reach a wall. And there is a single door there with a keyhole. And it's all lit up with more of these sort of orbs of light. So it is up to you whether or not you get through that door using the homeward door key. We'll see what's beyond.
Holy crap.
Can we hear anything on the other side of the door?
We'll make a perception check.
Guys.
I will check.
Guys, get on it.
Perception. 15.
Yeah, even with a 15, there is one overriding noise. You can't hear people moving around. You can't hear signs of life. But even as you've been moving further and further into this tunnel, Gaius, you've been hearing it. You're used to different types of sounds. And in some ways, this particular sound is more unnerving for you than it is for the others. It sounds like you're underwater.
We're under the lake.
Beneath the lake, aren't we? Lake Aira.
Possibly.
There's the sound of, yeah, being like sort of being that muffled underwater, like you've got water in your ears kind of noise going on.
Guy messages to Enkidu, messages to Orin. We can open the door, look, and close it, right?
Have you mentioned the water sound to Orin?
There's a water sound on the other side, buddy.
Okay, if there is water literally on the other side of this door, we might not be able to shut it again.
But my question is, why would they construct a door that's got, like, water on the other side? You know what I mean?
David, does the door open out from where we are or into where we are?
Into where you are. So it opens towards
why
you.
Would they have... why would they... And this is messaging. Why would they have a door in their, like, secret hidey hole that just, like, bursts water through?
Whilst this is happening, Gwendolyn looks through the keyhole.
Yes, please,
good
thank you.
Good call.
Sees a goldfish.
Make a perception check, Gwendolyn.
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 Deli. Hercules. Hercules.
Go on, Deli.
I shouldn't have done that. 14.
14. It is quite dark beyond. You can see some larger shapes. There is the smallest amount of light. Again, almost like refracted as if it were underwater. You don't see any water in the space, though. But it's incredibly dark in there.
She kind of, through our system, relays that to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Could be an aqueduct.
It could be magic. We don't know.
But yeah, this door must go somewhere useful for Chargelt.
Short on time, guys. Do we want to do a vote?
Could be a tunnel that leads us all the way to Twaintide. It's not that
the
far.
Spoons.
It's not that far.
Gwendolyn, through our system, says, I vote we open it.
I'm on board with that.
I think we should use the homeward door.
Orin, what do you think, buddy?
Right now, the homeward door is just taking us back into a different nest of vipers.
And away from 300 Arcanists ready to put us in gibbets.
Guy?
There's nothing stopping us from opening and then closing the door.
As far as we know?
As far as we know. So I think we open the door, assess, close the door, then go, if necessary.
Yep. I'm in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. Through the system, Ikeda will propose that he and the Shadowspawn will open the door so we can have an extra body to close it if, like, there's a force of Russian water coming to meet us.
Like it. Nice. Guy stands tactically behind the door.
Nice. As you sort of do step forward, whoever it is that steps forward and tries, it is locked. So yeah, I mean, whoever wants to try to unlock it first.
Of course it is.
It's got a keyhole. It's locked.
You fucking dickheads.
Who wants to try and open it?
I don't mind.
Juno versus Orin.
Gwendolyn's already picked a lock. Tried to pick a lock today. Somebody else's turn.
Thieves tools out. Let's give it a go.
Thieves tools out. Crack at it.
I need the bathroom so badly right now, but I can't leave.
I'm gonna. This is my third flash of genius. Yay! Non-natural 20.
Non-natural 20. I will allow it.
Yeah.
There is a small moment of like, oh, you don't think this is quite a heavy lock, and then click, click, click. It's done. It's ready.
Orin steps back to let Enkidu and the Shadow Spawn open the door.
We open the door. Slowly.
Slowly. So, comfortingly, as you open it, no rushing water. no rushing water filing out. With Enkidu and the Shadow Spawn just behind the door, that leaves the rest of you on Gaius kind of like tucked away as well. Gwendolyn and Orin, with Juna at the front, gets the view of a massive cavern, flattened floor, rocky protrusions right around the edge. The ceiling is a massive dome with ripples of water hitting against it, a complete force field almost holding the lake above you at bay. And in the center of the room are 9 standing stones in a circle.
As in a henge.
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
I am so glad we opened this door.
Me too.
It's a henge.
It's an underwater henge.
It's an underwater henge.
What the fuck is happening?
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
A Map to You, Life Stories from the Living podcast, which is brought to you by The Dot Collective. We want to capture and share as many stories as possible. Throughout the series, we will be getting to know members of dementia social groups in Southeast London. Each week, we'll join these groups to uncover stories by engaging in conversation and storytelling activities.
Hello, I'm Thomas Judd, and I'm going to be presenting this week's episode of the A Map to You podcast. I'm joined by Laura Harling, the Artistic Director of the Dot Collective.
This whole project has been about really getting to know people, about having a load of fun, about taking actors and writers into social situations and having conversations with people that happen to live and care for dementia and finding out what their fond moments of their lives are.
One of the first things I noticed about her was that she was wearing an orange lanyard that said, "Everyone has a story."
I was living and working in London for the BBC at Bush House as a programme producer for the radio. But my wife, she was living in Burton-on-Trent. Do you know that area?
1960, I think it was, when I was in the National Service.
I don't know what to write. So I asked if she wanted to write a story together. She opened up like a flower. We sort of took it away to a more imaginary exercise, but actually the imaginary exercise were memories.
And it's obviously a lovely way in which the Dot Collective works in using storytelling and the idea of imagination to draw out people's memories.
Absolutely,
and their
yeah.
connection to those memories, which is really lovely.
100%. The one thing that really stuck out to me was the stories of writing letters to his wife. It seemed to be something that was consistent throughout his relationship.
And we then wrote so many letters. I would write how much I missed her, how lonely I felt without her.
14 boys and their love wrestling with me. I was strong.
You were the strongest.
Yes, I was the strongest. Now, look, now I've told you all my secrets. Anyway, I'll tell you more. I'll fetch my book tomorrow.
Do excuse me being a bit slow. I've had rather a long sleep. I don't like the cold, so I tend to stay inside pretty much all of the winter. When everyone else was shutting themselves inside in that heat wave last summer, I was out in my garden, racing around, actually.
Vicky, can you tell us all about Timmy? Sounds like quite a character. It was when I put something in the fryer, some chips or something. And then, well, I'd forgotten and didn't think about it at all until I could smell the burning.
Our job is to find out those stories, to record them and document them, to put them on this podcast so everyone can hear them, and to also create a lasting memory.
I read it back to her. She laughed from the bottom of her lungs. That's good. Everybody else can read that. A Map to You, Life Stories from the Living, launches with our first episode at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 7th of February. For more information on the project and the Dot Collective charity, visit thedotcollective.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.